Please turn to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Your Scofield Reference Bible, page 748, beginning with the 27th verse, we'll read through verse 31 of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read these verses responsively. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And let's read the last one together, the text verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. And Father, on this blessed day, we pray for thy help. I suppose that unless we're attentive today, then something's going to pass us by that's very valuable and life-changing for some. So help us to pay attention to thy word as it's preached and give power to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
All morning I've been thinking about one thing, and that is, I thought when we took the Lord's Supper, we finished. If he just came this morning and took the Lord's Supper and went home, it'd be worth our trip. I thought after that young lady's quintet a while ago, if all we did was come and hear that message in song or the choir special, it'd be worth our coming. And I thought after Brother McKinney prayed, if I had just come to church and heard that prayer and gone on home, then worth coming for. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to not only be God's child, but to know his children and get to meet with them on a regular basis. Before I pray and bring the message, I want to say two things. One is, for the 31 years this August that I've been pastor here, we've either been building a building, planning a building, having plans drawn for a building, or tearing down a building. It has not been one single day in 31 years we've not been drawing plans for a building, raising money for a building, or building a building. And we deacons voted last night to employ an architect, start drawing plans for a beautiful new girls' dormitory at Howells Anderson College. I think we'll have it finished by this time, by the January opening of the January semester next year. And of course, we are also in the process of just about to build a bus garage at Howells Anderson College. And then, any day now, I plan to tear down some more buildings downtown Hammond here. But now it is 11:39. We're about 14 minutes behind. I tell you this, every Lord's Supper day, you won't have to look at your watch and wonder, when's the old man going to get through? The old man's going to be through before 12:10. That's a promise I never break. I promise you, on the Lord's Supper day, by 12:10, I will be finished with my message, perhaps before. I also promise you that by 12:30, you'll be on your way home. We always do that, and I promise you those two promises, so you rest assured I'll finish the sermon by 12:10, and I will dismiss the service by 12:30. I want to speak this morning on one of the most oft-used scriptures in the Bible. I guess a scripture from which I preach is often as in the other. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A few verses before that, God reminded us he never gets tired. I love that. God said never get tired, never come home dragging, never get out of breath, never get weary. And then God said, the day is going to come when the young men shall get weary and faint, But they that wait upon the Lord don't have to do that. They, if you wait on the Lord, you can mount up with wings as eagles. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. Now, I'm going to invert those this morning. I'm going to come at it instead of fly, run, and walk. It says, first, mount up with wings as eagles. That's fly. And run and not be weary. That's walk. Run. And then walk and not faint. That's walk. I'm going to turn them around this morning. Instead of going fly, run, and walk, I'm going to turn around and talk to you on run, walk, and fly. The title of my message is Exchange Your Strength. Our Heavenly Father, for the next 25 or 28 minutes, I'll be trying to encourage my people and to remind them of the strength that is available. I pray this morning shall be a strengthening service as we learn to meet the conditions for strength. Help us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. As I travel around the country these days, so many times somebody will say to me, Brother Hiles, you're preaching with more vigor now than I've heard you preach with in a long time. Oftentimes, young men, young preachers will say to me, Brother Hiles, I do not think I could keep your schedule. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up with you. And it's nothing unusual for me to go to bed at 12:15 and get up at 3:45 to go catch an airplane somewhere. And I don't play. I don't take days off. And people oftentimes say, Preacher, how in the world do you keep your schedule at the age of 63? Israel, and follow me carefully, Israel was facing a horrible thing. Isaiah had prophesied that the armies of Nebuchadnezzar would soon come from Babylon. And those armies would ravish the land of Israel, and especially the city of Jerusalem. The most powerful military force in the world at that time came upon Israel, and they were facing it, and at this particular time, they knew it was going to come. They knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that the armies of Nebuchadnezzar was going to come. Isaiah knew it anyway. And they could see it coming. And Isaiah said, now I want to tell you what can help you through it all. When the temple is destroyed, I want to tell you what can help you take it. When your homes are destroyed, I want to tell you how you can be strong instead of weak. He said, prepare. You know, people my age, oftentimes in the early part of the autumn, fall season, we get flu shots. This year, I got a flu shot and a pneumonia shot. And I tried to find a stubbornness shot, but I couldn't find one. But because as you see the weather approaching, the cold weather approaching, you get ready for it. I remember when I was a kid in Texas when a storm would come. Out behind the house, a lot of our places had storm cellars. We didn't have basements in Texas, but behind the house, you'd have a mound out there. The mound would be about, that high. You'd have a slanting door on that mound. You'd open that slanting door, be steps down in what they called the storm cellar. We'd see, it didn't have trees in Texas, just a few bushes, and we'd see a tornado rolling. I mean, I've seen them, brother, just with the funnel clouds coming right your direction, and nothing between North Texas and the North Pole and a barbed wire fence. And you could see that thing coming, and boy, we'd get ready for it. I mean, Mama would close the windows, and she'd say, let's get the lantern, or the coal oil lamp, a kerosene lamp, and we'd go down in the storm cellar and stay there. Now, we prepared for the coming of the storm. If we heard that a freeze was going to come, and that's one of the biggest things of the year, a freeze is going to come. Here, it's if an unfreeze is going to come. But a freeze is going to come. We'd get ready for it. Here's what we'd do. First thing we'd do, we'd go outside. Well, first thing we'd do is go outside and out in everybody's flower bed in front of the house. You'd have a little iron thing that stuck up like this and an L like that, and that turned the water on and turned the water off. And we go out there and turn the water off. It's going to freeze. A freeze is coming tonight. A norther, we used to call it. All the bad weather came from the north. You understand that, don't you? A norther is going to come. And we'd turn that little doojigger and turn the water off. Then we'd come inside and turn all the water on and drain the pipes. But before we turn the water off, we fill the bathtub full of water, and we fill every container in the house full of water, every bucket, every jar, everything full of water, the sink full of water, because if the freeze lasted for several days, we had to have enough water to take care of us. And if you didn't turn the water off and drain the pipes, the pipes would freeze. And then you've got real, real problems. The water comes out in the front yard rather than in the sink. And but we're getting ready for the freeze. And when you folks are getting older, I certainly expect to be older myself someday. But as you face senior years, you find yourself hoping Social Security will hold on just a little while longer. And you find yourself maybe thinking about retirement. And many of you are making some plans for retirement. Now, as the people saw, and as Isaiah saw, the day approaching. I mean, the darkest hour in the life of Israel up till this time was this time. The army, this mighty army, they were defenseless and helpless against the army of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And as they saw it coming, Isaiah, I don't know who said it, maybe it was John the Baptist, but anyway, Isaiah comes along, and Isaiah says, now, some tough days are going to come. But I want to remind you of three things before it comes. One is, our God never gets tired. Well, I love that. I love that. God never wears out. God never said, I had a rough day. God never said, I'm exhausted. God never plops in bed and goes off to sleep. Our God never sleeps. Our God never gets weary. And then Isaiah said, when this time comes, even the young men are going to get weary. And the young men are going to faint. But he said, I've got something I want to tell all of God's people, and that is whether you're young or old or middle-aged, whether you're male or female, he said, there's one thing I want to tell you. When this awful time comes, and when this terrible siege of Nebuchadnezzar comes, he said, I want to tell you something. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, what does it mean if you get this strength? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It means as a waitress would wait on a table. You're just with Him, looking for His desires, waiting for His request, wanting to know what God wants, and as soon as you see His glass of water half filled, you fill it up for Him again. I was down in Jackson, Mississippi, preaching the other day, and I ate at the Ramada Inn restaurant there. And, I mean, it was breakfast, and the place was packed full. And this little lady nothing, she is fat and well upholstered, and she was so friendly. And she was so busy. She was waddling around that place all the time and running here and there. And every time she came by, you all right? You all right? Need anything? You all right? Need anything? And I thought, now, how can she be so friendly when she's so busy? And so finally she came by, and old middle-aged white lady, and she came by, and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, as busy as you are, I've never seen a waitress any busier. You're practically running this restaurant by yourself. I said, how can you be so friendly? And she looked at me, and she said, 'cause the Lord is on my side. That's why. And I thought of the scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's available for everybody. And the Bible said, if you'll wait on Him, just like that little waitress, that big waitress was waiting on me. That reminds me of Dr. Bob Gray's statement. Said the first city he ever preached in, said the only heavy industry they had in that little city was a 270-pound Avon lady. And this was a heavy industry. She was waiting on me. Now, when you get the place, well, you're not concerned about your wishes but His. And your desires but His. And you're not concerned about you but Him. And you say, Lord, I'm here to wait on You. I don't mean just lay there and do nothing like a lot of people think this verse teaches. That's not what it means. I mean, when you say, dear Lord, here I am, I'm waiting for Your command, I'm waiting for Your orders, whatever You say, that's what I want to do. God said, hey, bingo! He said, I'll renew your strength. I want to tell you what that really means. The word there, renew, is also used as the word exchange. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. That means if I wait upon God, I can trade my strength in for on His. I come to God and say, God, here's my strength. There's not much to it. God said, Trader, I'll give you mine. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. You don't have your own strength. You have His strength, and He never gets weary and never gets tired. So He said, exchange it, mine for His. You say, I can't take it anymore. Then exchange your strength. You say, I've gone as far as I can go. Then exchange your strength. You say, I can't face tomorrow. Then exchange your strength. And think about that. Brother, you're like me, especially when you get older. I mean, I get tired, real tired, very tired. I think I can't go anymore. And God comes along and says, I'll trade your omnipotence for your weakness. Oh, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and that all power is available to you. If you bring your little strength to God and wait upon God, then God said, exchange your strength for mine, and omnipotence is available to you. Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham and Sarah were heard the announcement they're going to have a baby. Good night. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100. And God came along and said, Sarah, congratulations. We're going to give you a shower. And Abraham, congratulations. You better find some candy cigars to pass out. And you're going to have a boy. And Sarah laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Oh, you think a 90-year-old woman can have a baby? It reminds me of Miss Howell's that surgery. When she came out of it, she was woozy and, you know, sort of a little drunk, you know. Cindy, our daughter, had gotten a balloon, and the balloon said, it's a boy. When Miss Howells came out of surgery, there it was. It's a boy. That'd be a revolting development, wouldn't it? But when Sarah came out of surgery, it was a boy. And she was 90. And Sarah said, how in the world? And God said, is there anything too hard for God? Nothing is too hard for God. And God offers you that omnipotence and power and strength in exchange for your puny little weakness. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. Man's strength for God's strength. Human strength for deity's strength. Weak strength for mighty strength. Exchange it. Jeremiah 32:17 answers the question, is there anything too hard for God? Where it says there's nothing too hard for God. Matthew chapter 17, when that man came to his son, or came to Jesus with his demon-possessed son, he said, could you do anything about my son? And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's nothing too hard for God. And God, listen, you Brother Howes, I'm tired. Okay, trade your strength in for God's strength. Brother Howes, I don't think I can. I'm just worn out. Okay, wait on God. Forget yourself. Forget your pain. Forget your need. Think about what God wants. I got to tell you this, because I want you to know how wonderful I am. You already know, but I want you to know really. My breakfast cost $3.79. That little lady, I walked out. She made me so happy when she said, the Lord's on my side. I hadn't heard that in years in a restaurant. I left her a $10 bill. Then I looked through the crack in the door when she looked at it. She went, she was cleaning off the table, she got that, she put it up. And that renewed her strength. I mean, she jumped up and down like that and clapped her hands like that. Why? She'd been waiting on the Lord. I mean, she was waiting on me. And she had, because she had done
what I wanted her to do, and because every little thing that I, she saw my water glass a little empty, she filled it up, she saw my hot tea a little empty, and she brought me some hot water. Every time she ran by, she said, "Can I do anything for you? What can I do for you?" And she waited on me, and because of that, I rewarded her with a $10 tip, and bless God, our God says the same thing. He said, "You look for my needs, look for my wants, do what I want you to do, and wait on me, and spend your life looking for things to do for me." God said, "I'll give you a tip." What is that tip? He said, "It's my omnipotent strength." That's what it is. Now I've got to hurry, because I made a promise a while ago. I'm going to keep if I can. I want you to notice strength to walk. Strength to walk. We'll come to strength to run after a while, and strength to fly. Let's start with this. God said, "You wait upon me, I'll give you strength to walk." Now, that's the routine of life. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's harder to face the routine of life than the emergencies of life. Just to get up tomorrow. Becky said the other day, our daughter who's not well, she put it this way. She said, "Daddy, sometimes the hardest thing I have to do is just get up in the morning. Just get up in the morning." I said, "I'll give you strength to walk." I'm a preacher. Hope you've noticed. I'm a preacher. It's my life. It's my calling. It's my business. But sometimes I get tired. When I get tired, I have a little ritual I go through. I wait, I exchange, and I walk. I wait, I exchange, and I keep on going. Last Friday, I do not know when I worked as hard as long as I worked Friday. In fact, all week lately and all the time. But I just didn't know I could go to church Friday night. I just didn't know. I was supposed to preach in Jackson, Mississippi Friday night. And I just didn't think I could make it to the car. And I said, I better get me some orange juice. I thought, oh, isn't that stupid? Here I'm trusting orange juice when I got Isaiah 40:31. And I just opened my Bible to Isaiah 40:31, and while I was sipping my orange juice, and eating some honey, and taking the vitamin, I just got away from the room a while and got alone with God and waited upon God. And I said, "God, I promise you, anything you want, I'll do it. Anything you want me to do, I'll do it. There's not one single thing that you ever asked me to do right now. I promise you, I'll do it." And I went to the car, and I could walk in the car, and I was breathing deeply and sighing as I walked in the car. I got in the pastor study, and he went out to get the service started. And I stayed in there. I said, "God, I don't have enough strength and energy." And I begged him, and I said, "You know, I'll do anything you want me to do." And I waited, and I said, "Lord, here is my strength. Give me yours. I want to trade you." And I walked in the pulpit and preached like I'd seldom preached. When I got through, one of the best friends I've got came by and said, "My soul," he said, "you preach tonight with more vigor I've ever seen you preach it." I said, "Why shouldn't I? I just swapped my strength for God's strength before I walked in." You can face tomorrow. You can live today. You can face the routine, the mundane, the ordinary things of life. If you wait upon God, you can walk. But it says that's not all. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run not weary, walk and not faint. Not only if you wait on God can you walk, but you can run. Now what does that mean? There are times when emergencies come. There are times when you've got to run. Now the normal, mundane, routine things of life, God said, "I'll give you strength for it." But that's the walk, the daily walk. The Bible mentions we to walk a certain way, or the walk of the Christian. It means the routine life of the Christian, the way he's supposed to live all the time. Like walk circumspectly and walk faithfully and walk plainly in this world. But then we come to those emergency times. I'm talking about the time when the doctor said, "I don't know." I'm talking about the times when doctor says you've got a growth on your brain, Rachel. Talking about the time the doctor says to Ray Newton, "You've got cancer." I'm talking about the time when God said to you, "Your baby's blind." I'm talking about the time And the boss said, you're fired, and you were 60 years old, and you're too old to find work somewhere else and start a new career. And all of a sudden, emergency comes. God said, wait upon me, and you can exchange your strength for my strength in times of emergency. You see it coming. You see that emergency coming. You're dreading it. You're afraid it's on the way. God said there's something you can do to get ready for it. Just like Israel got ready for the coming of Nebuchadnezzar when the mighty armies of Babylon came upon the land of Canaan. And God said, Israel, a battle's coming. Your houses will be leveled. Your temple will be destroyed. Your wives, some will be taken and ravished. And you'll have a famine and no food to eat. And awful times will come like you've never seen before. But he said, if you're my children, you're going to see some young men fall and some young men faint. But if you're my child, I'll give you my strength for your strength if you wait upon me. He said, now that's what's going to see you through this, and nothing else is going to see you through it. And God comes this morning to you, and you're in an emergency. You've got one coming, and you see the cloud rolling in, and God says to you, let me give you my strength. Let's swap your strength for mine. I don't like to talk about this, but it's too good an illustration. I think I must. Pastor school is one of the hardest things we do here. And yet it's one of the peaks of our lives. More preachers have been transformed inside this room right here than in any other room in the history of Christianity. More churches have been built and more lives have been changed and more people have been called to preach the gospel inside this room right here than in any room since Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. When it's all over, the hardest walk I take is out that door right there when pastor school is over. And I go to Mama's. I used to go to Mama's knee when she lived over on 167th Street in Calumet City, and I'd spend a couple of hours sitting there, putting my knee in her, my head in her lap, and I'd just cry. Now then, since she's gone, I go out to the mausoleum where she's buried. Do the same thing. Last pastor's school was all over. Wonderful week. I drove out to Mother's place, and I spent a couple hours out there in the mausoleum with her. I drove back to the church. I was behind on my work. Had a big stack of mail like that. Started to wade into it. Second letter I opened. The letter I opened told me of the battle that was going to come. I mean, the delegates were still leaving town and packing. And already, my heart was crushed. That was last of March. Battle was going to start 1st of May. And I saw the armies coming. And I turned to this passage right here, and I stayed in this passage for 30 days. The war's going to come. The battle's going to come. The enemy's going to come. But hallelujah, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. I want to testify today how good God's been to me. Been running for the last year. Not fainting, but running. Folks have come to my funeral service and found I wasn't there. You say, you must be some man. No, I'm not. I have some God. That's what I have. I can run and not be weary. So what do you do when you see it coming? What do you do? I wait upon the Lord. I say, Lord, I won't try to help myself. I promise you, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I just tell me what you want. I promise you I'll do it. And I just hang around God, watching for the slightest need or slightest request that He gives me and to do it. And then I say, Lord, it's not a very good deal for you, but here's my weakness. I'll take your strength. That's how an old man keeps going. That's how when I preach sometimes with 30-year-old men, people walk up to me and say, good night! You got more energy than that young squirt had to preach before you preached. I said, well, sure. It's not mine. It's his. Changes of life and your own strength. Trade your strength in. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. They shall walk and not faint. That's the routine of life. They shall run and not be weary. the emergencies of life. And just in a few moments, it says strength not only to walk, strength not only to run, but strength to fly. What is that? Strength to walk, the routine of life. Strength to run, the emergencies of life. Strength to fly, the impossibilities of life. There are times where you can't do anything about it. There are times all you can do is just take it. I got to tell you about him again. One of my favorite people in history, Carmen Basilio. I think that's his name. Carmen, a fighter? I think that's his name. He had fought more fights than anybody, I guess, in the world. And I used to watch fights a little bit years ago. His nose looked like it had been run over by a steamroller. His ears looked like enlarged cauliflowers. His mouth looked like a map of Rhode Island. Here's the way he fought. I mean, no guard, no protection, just came in. And what he'd do, he'd just keep on hitting. I mean, keep on getting hit, and getting hit, and getting hit. After round one, he was behind. Unbelievably. After round two, no hope. But you couldn't knock him down. He wouldn't go down. He kept on coming in. After round seven, and after a while, the poor old fellow hitting him, and hit him as many times, he'd have to hold his arm and throw it at him. And after the guy had hit him with all he had, old Carmen knocked him out. I love the guy. One of the ugliest men I ever saw in my life. God said, when you come to the place where you can't do anything else, just keep on serving me. Keep on waiting on me. Keep on hanging around me. Keep on doing what I want you to do. Keep on seeking what the slightest little desire of my heart. And God said, I'll lift you above the impossibilities and let you fly. I'm closing in a minute and a half. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm going to testify. I praise his name this morning for his strength. I know what I'm talking about. You can exchange your strength for his. And I thank God that's available. I wouldn't be here today. I couldn't have made it all these many years. Why, a man said to me, 40 years ago, he said, you keep preaching like that. He said, you won't last for 5 years. You'll wear your voice out and you'll wear your body out in 5 years. Well, it's been 40 years since that guy made his prophecy, and I'm still walking and I'm still running and I'm still flying. Why? Because I take note of the weakness and say, dear God, I can't make it anymore. He said, good, I'll swap you my omnipotence for your weakness. And that way I can run and not be weary. I can walk and not faint, and I can mount up with wings as eagles. And what's available for me is just as available for you, our Heavenly Father.